This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Well, all this week on Cross Hope, the fifth in a series of seven messages on the final week in the earthly life of Christ. This week in John 14, where Jesus tells us about heaven. If there's ever a person who's an expert on heaven, it's not some earthly writer, it's not from a movie that we might see and even appreciate. The expert on heaven and eternity is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. It makes sense to me we talk about what he says. Let's begin that message from John, the 14th chapter. I go to prepare a place for you. I tell that story for this reason, and I'm very serious about this. So many people in the United States of America are enjoying their ride on this earth. Scenery's beautiful, money's coming in, got a good job. Maybe for a lot of them, health is good. But don't have a clue where they are in life spiritually. They don't have a clue where they're going eternally. But we're enjoying the ride. And then something happens in life. There's a crisis in their marriage. There's a crisis of health. There's a crisis with one of their children. And all of a sudden, where are we going to spend eternity, perhaps? What about life after death? Today, we're going to look at what I call the most important passage of Scripture about heaven. It's a part of the final week series, 7 days in history of the Lord's last 7 days. Bible scholars say this happened on Thursday of Holy Week, the final week, whatever you call it. And Jesus is comforting his disciples. They have a lot of anxiety and fear about Jesus dying on a cross. And he gives them words of comfort that, by the way, speak to you in 2013. It's in John 14, beginning at verse 1, just the first few verses. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, mansions, or abiding places." That's what the word means, just places to live. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, most important statement perhaps that Jesus ever made, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The most politically incorrect statement out of all the New Testament. No one comes to the Father except through me. "If you really knew me, you would have known my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him." Recently, I drew together some material about what people believe about heaven or what they don't believe about heaven. I don't know what everybody believes about heaven. I have discovered this. There are people who believe that if you believe in heaven, then you get to heaven. The ticket for heaven is to believe in heaven. That's not true. Just believing in heaven doesn't get me to heaven any more than I believe in the moon, that I'm going to make it to the moon. Or I believe in the planet Mars. Well, that's going to take me to planet Mars because I believe it. We believe in Jesus, period. End of statement. And because of that belief in him, trusting in him, then everything else falls out of that trust in Jesus. That's really the message today. Well, tomorrow on Cross Hope, we'll continue with this message exactly where we leave off today. We want you to know that we do have a national website you can go to listen to any part of this message that you may have missed, or to listen to any other message for that matter on Cross Hope. Our web address is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. You'll be able to listen to past messages. You'll be able to listen to this message again. Also, you'll be able to find out how to become a part of this ministry we call Cross Hope. Now then, today on Cross Hope, part two of a message we began yesterday about heaven from John 14. This is a part of the series called The Final Week, 7 days in history, looking at the last 7 days of Jesus on this earth. According to some scholars, on Thursday, Jesus gave this teaching or discourse on the subject of heaven to his disciples. "I go to prepare a place for you." That's what we study today as we continue. This is an actual writing. This is not a gag piece of writing. This is true from a man by the name of Kirk from Maryland. He talks about his vision of heaven, and I'm not making this up. He says, I guess you would have to say my heaven is called Michigan. In my mind, Michigan is the most beautiful place on earth. When I hear or read of sacred places, or when I visit them or see them on television, they're just names. They do not draw my attention like Marquette, Mackinac Island, or Sleeping Dunes National Seashore. I went to Zealand of Denmark when I was 21, and I was so glad to see it because it reminded me of Michigan. That's exactly the way I believe what I believe will be heaven. When I die, he says, I will be awakened by a train conductor, and I will be traveling across Michigan on a train. I will be going north. From the window, I will see its familiar scenery, the flat fields of green corn and soybeans, the farmhouses of my grandparents, uncles, and cousins, and Michigan State, where I went to college. Or when I die, I will blink my eyes open, traveling up Route 23, just outside Lansing. I'll be in a convertible with the top down, going to a place I know well, warm and happy with the wind blowing through my hair. I might ride a dune buggy along the lakeshore with my cousin, who never made it back from Vietnam. I will have all of the time to watch the lighthouses from the lake as they beacon from the shores at night in the fog. Their light will say, this is heaven. This is heaven. One more I want to read to you about a person's view of heaven. Her name is Amy. She's from Manhattan Beach, California. Until recently, my own life was relatively peaceful. At some point, though, the peace ends. At 44, I was diagnosed with advanced lung cancer. My daughters were 5 and 8 at the time. After surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy, I still live with the chronic disease and ongoing treatment. I soldier on. I kiss my kids goodbye each morning, reasonably confident they will return safely. I help them master 4th grade history and 6th grade math, assuming they will grow up to graduate from high school and go on to college. I celebrate another birthday, cook spaghetti for dinner, scoop chocolate ice cream, savor the sunset. I live. While I can imagine a utopia, I believe there is no heaven. There is no heaven except the place where we are right now. You work with people. You have people in your family that believe heaven is what you make of it, and it's your heaven or hell is on this earth, and it's up to you. It's all up to you to make the heaven or hell. I thank God they're wrong. I thank God they're wrong. Because if Jesus is who he claimed to be, the authority on life, death, and eternity, and if in fact he is the way, the truth, and the life, and he really is that, then doesn't it make sense he's the expert on heaven? Isn't it just logical to assume he knows what he's talking about when he says this, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Well, 5 minutes isn't a long time, so you'll have to continue this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. We're glad that you're listening today. Continue to listen tomorrow and all this week to Cross Hope. God bless you.
Because if Jesus is who he claimed to be, the authority on life, death, and eternity, and if in fact he is the way, the truth, and the life, and he really is that, then doesn't it make sense he's the expert on heaven? Isn't it just logical to assume he knows what he's talking about when he says this, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. I never understood this verse. I honestly believe this until recently. Jesus is talking to his disciples, trying to comfort them about their angst about his leaving, dying. And he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. The word in the Greek means stirred up, like water is stirred up on the ocean. You ever spoken of somebody in your family, hey, he's all worked up about this, or grandma's all worked up about that? We know what that phrase means in other people's lives, and let's be honest, we know what it means in our lives. You've been worked up. We all have been worked up about something. And Jesus says this, I find this incredible. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God the Father. Trust in me. That's it. Yeah, that's it. The cure for anxiety about the future is basically trusting in Jesus. And you say, that's too simplistic. It is simplistic. It's too elementary. It is elementary. It's too basic, and yet that's where the power is. The power in dealing with anxiety about the future, whether it's eternal future or whether it's 2014 or 2020, whatever it is in your life that you have angst about, is trusting in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I really believe that. Look at verse 2. In my Father's house are many rooms or abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Many of you have heard me tell this before at a funeral. But I was so excited years ago when I discovered the Greek word for place is the word topos, T-O-P-O-S. Well, I'm a map collector, which is not very exciting. Most people don't get thrilled when you talk about maps. They don't have map shows like you have car shows in the parking lot at Kroger. Nothing like that. It's pretty boring hobby, to be honest with you. But I have boxes and boxes and boxes of maps. I love maps. Love to look at maps. And so when I saw in the Greek that Jesus said, I go to prepare a topos for you, you know what that told me? A real place. It's not something ethereal. It's not something in the sweet by and by and somewhere out there. There's something out there ethereal. I go to prepare a real place for you. And then the greatest statement of all is next, where Jesus says, so that where I am, there you will be also. The great thing about heaven is not just the place, it's the one we're going to be with for all eternity. And I hope you get that. It's the one we're going to be with for all eternity. If you're a parent of a teenager, or you have been a parent of a teenager, doesn't it make all the difference in the world to know who are they with? When our boys were growing up years ago in their 18, 20, 22 age, just tell me who they were with and I knew where they were. Just knowing who they're with tells you a lot about what they're doing, doesn't it? And isn't it wonderful and comforting to know that we're going to be with the Lord forever? What's heaven going to be like? We're going to be with Him. I can't explain that. I can't quantify it. But that's what it means. We're going to be with Him forever.
Well, you may be a new listener to this program known as Cross Hope. Cross Hope has been on the air since June of 2010 nationwide. We're glad that you're listening today. If there's ever a message you'd like to hear later, you can go to our website, crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to any message that you've missed or to find out more about this ministry we call Cross Hope. God bless you.
The great thing about heaven is not just the place, it's the one we're going to be with for all eternity. And I hope you get that. It's the one we're going to be with for all eternity. And isn't it wonderful and comforting to know that we're going to be with the Lord forever? What's heaven going to be like? We're going to be with Him. I can't explain that. I can't quantify it. But that's what it means. We're going to be with Him forever. And then look at verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When people have asked me over the years, what does it mean when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Here's my answer. Everything. That's all it means. It means everything. To claim I am the way, the truth, and the life is the most egotistical, maniacal statement. I mean, it's crazy. It's totally nuts to say I am the way, the truth, and the life if it's not true. And Jesus said it with power, and He said it with authority, and believe this or not, He said it with humility because it was true. I am the way. I'm not just pointing the way. I am the way. I'm not pointing you to truth in the right direction. I am the truth. I'm not showing you the way to happiness and the way to get rich and the way to do this or that. I am the way. He was claiming everything by saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if that statement is true, there is nothing more important in the universe than knowing the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Roger Fredrickson, for years, was a Baptist minister in Wichita, Kansas. He was a writer, and he tells about a couple that started coming to their church by the name of Doug and Jackie. Doug was a dentist, worked at the VA hospital in Wichita, and this Christian thing was new to them. I mean, it was all new. And Roger talks about with great emotion about the day that he baptized Doug and Jackie. They were both in the water together in the baptistry, and right before Roger baptized them, he said, "I'll always remember Doug looking over at his wife Jackie and just whispering the words, 'I love you. I love you,' just before they were baptized into Christ." And he said it was a powerful moment. Well, Doug and Jackie invited Roger and his wife over for dinner some weeks, about 7 or 8 weeks after their baptism. And they told Roger, "You know, this is all new to us. Going to church is new. Reading the Bible is new. Being in a Bible study group, it's all new to us." And they were just soaking up everything they could. They're starting to share with their friends. And Doug wondered if maybe he was placed in his workplace at the VA hospital where he worked at so that he could be the one to share with people, which I found intriguing. A new believer thinking, maybe God's placed me here. And you say, what happened with Doug and Jackie? What was going on in their life? They came to know the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. You see, what you believe about Jesus impacts how you treat your wife. What you believe about heaven impacts how you treat your wife or your husband. What you believe about Jesus impacts how you treat your family, your children, your parents. Because where you know you're going eternally will impact your now, your current moment. I really believe that. When you know you have a destiny that's beyond this earth, and it's beyond this job, and it's beyond this education, and it's beyond this career, and it's beyond this life expectancy, it's about eternity. It changes your perspective on everything. Verse 7 is so powerful. "If you really knew me," Jesus said, "you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Rarely do I close with illustrations that are negative, and I don't mean to do that today, but I want to quote a couple more little vignettes of what people believe about heaven, just to point out how sad it is what people live and what they die with on their minds. And I'm not making fun of either one of these people at all, but Greg, this really got to me for some reason. Greg Weiss is from Omaha, Nebraska. He's a teacher. So this is a published story, so I'm not, you know, violating his privacy by telling this. When you print something, I hope you know that you just put it out for the world to see. It's public domain. He doesn't believe in heaven, doesn't believe in life after death. It's all here. He's a teacher. It's just what is here. This is our heaven or hell. His 8-year-old daughter, Regina, came to him one day and said, "Dad, do you believe in heaven?" And he said that he just paused. He didn't know what to say initially, but I want you to hear his answer. It wasn't a horrible answer, a bad answer. He said, "Well, honey, you know I love you, don't you?" "Yes," she said. And I know I love you. "I think that's what heaven is, Regina. It's the place where we know love." Now, here's what he said that was amazing to me. He said, "That answer did not satisfy my daughter, but it satisfied me." And I thought, really? Could it be that his daughter wanted, "Dad, tell me about heaven"? Is it possible that an 8-year-old child had maybe lost a friend, something happened, she was thinking of a loved one that had died? "Dad, do you believe in heaven? I just think how sad it is for the man not to offer his daughter the hope of John 14. That's what I'm saying. Wouldn't it be different if he said, "Honey, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am," you realize how intellectually that would have blessed her as an 8-year-old to hear that? And maybe it wouldn't have answered all her questions, but isn't that different than saying, "I love you and you love me and that's where heaven is"? Didn't satisfy her, but it satisfied him. I thought it was a sad, sad statement. He said, "Heaven is here." You don't get to heaven because you believe in heaven. You don't get to heaven because you believe in heaven because you believe in Christ. Don't forget, don't ever forget that. You get to heaven because you believe and trust everything Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. You throw yourself at the foot of the cross and say, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus says this, "I've prepared a place for you, a place that where I am, that's where you'll be also." You talk about hope, that's it. So many people, in my opinion, believe in hopeless hope. They have a semblance of hope in something, or hope sweet by and by, but it's a hopeless hope. We believe in the hope of glory. His name is Jesus, who made a promise. You take this body and kill it, I'll raise it up in 3 days. And he did. He conquered death. We'll celebrate that as a church on Easter Sunday. Hallelujah. But he's the one who can tell you about heaven. He's the one to believe about heaven. He's the one to trust with your life and eternity. His name is Jesus. Let's pray together.
Well, recently on Cross Hope on Fridays, we've started to share some of our mail or emails from people. I think it's powerful to hear what people have to say. This is a letter from someone from Canada, from Ontario, Canada. And they just simply said this: I listen to your show every day, can't miss it. I'm from Ontario, Canada. I want to thank you for your guidance and your friendship. Yes, I consider you a friend, my friend on the radio. I was touched by that note. It's a way you can respond to us is go to our website, crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. That's to listen to any program you've missed, but also to contact us and for you to find out how you can become involved in a ministry we call Cross Hope Radio Ministry. God bless you.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.